that we touch on a little bit about Targumim, you know, and both in terms of Mechikas Hashem and other things, you know, use of other languages, and the famous tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, you know, about, you know, Losis Hashem Hashem Alav Kechal Hashav. First of all, there's a big debate among the Rishonim whether that applies to, you know, to Bracha Lashav or not, Daraisa or Draban. The Gemara uses that idea, but there seems to be a debate between the Bali Tosis and the Rambam, you know, whether that Bracha Levatala, you know, is a suffix of Losis Hashem Hashem Alekecha Lashav Daraisa. Then you have the famous tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, which everybody talks about, you know, which is why can't, does it help if you were just to, like, say, you know, Brich Rachmana, you know, and so on, you were just, you know, to avoid, like, using, you know, technical Shem Hashem, but, you know, to be Mesiaches to the Rabbonu Shalom in your Bracha, you know, does that help you regarding, you know, that problem of Bracha Levatala or not? And things like that, Kol HaMista'ef, I guess. This, as you can tell, it's a really rich and very exciting topic, and the interface, again, you know, with Inyan HaMachshava, of a very core variety in terms of theology, is obviously very important as well. But for today's purposes, we just want to finish up, because I really want to get, I don't know how much time we have left. A few more weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Oh, so then I really want to just finish today and start at least talking about Trusa Pikadon. And, okay, I guess we'll figure out the schedule. Good. So the two things left that I wanted to speak about, and I'll try to speak about them quickly, is I think we were up to and discussing the issue of Mekalel B'Shem, and we did the Rambam about Megadev. We talked about that, Rebelville's view, and I was trying to kind of be Mechalek further and also add or integrate the Rambam in Chosis Hodei HaTorah to that whole discussion, and so on. And then I think we were talking about, I was suggesting that, you know, the Ravid and Rambam discussion about Mekalel Atzmo and Chavero is also a good parallel, but you certainly might be Mechalek, in terms of, you know, there being, in general, for the Shitas HaRavid, that you can violate the Iser and even get certain components, you know, maybe the korban or the lav, you know, without getting the malchus, and to get malchus you need further. We were trying to suggest that there's a correlation between the Ravid's comments, even though there are two iterations of it, in terms of Yachel and all of that, but between his comments there and his comments in Ochos Sanhedrin and in Hasagos al Arif regarding Mekalel. In both cases, the Ravid, you know, again, and there are other examples of it as well, seems to, you know, be very comfortable with the idea that Shem Hashem, you know, will add a dimension which, you know, is Koveya Legabe Malkus or things of that sort, but that the Iser you can violate in a lesser way. Again, whether that's because our two dinim or one is a more intense form of the other and you need that intensification, that I think is, you know, open to question, and there are different formulations. But either way, that's the issue. So in the discussion of the Ravid Shita regarding Mekalel, so we wanted to discuss the position of, or the formulation of Rebelbel in the Chibur on Hilchos Sanhedrin. Again, the question that I think we already noted was, like, how is it possible, right, that if the Yisod of Malkus, let's say, in Mekalel, is going to be you know, a special din, you know, despite the fact that it's a lav shem b'maisa. So either way, you know, what difference should kinui or shem amiyuchad, let's say, what difference should that make, you know, in this equation? If you have a special limud that teaches you that lav shem b'maisa, you know, here is lokin alav, then, you know, that should be true whether it's b'shem or b'kinui. And if, you know, we take the view that it's, you know, lav shem b'maisa, therefore ein lokan alav, then we don't understand really why, you know, the shema miyuchad, you know, should bump that up. It doesn't make it into a maisa, presumably. So that's really what Rebelvo asks. And I think that his formulation is very interesting. And then he goes on to explain, Moshe, I think we had you on the record for this one, right? So that's the question that he asks. I think, again, it's a really well-formulated question. Then he goes on to try to analyze what the makar is. Again, he asks more questions before he gives more answers. Makor adavar b'masisim b'shavuos. He says, and the Ravid is trying to navigate the Yerushalmi that the Rif quotes. We discussed all this, right? Chevraya. Unlike others, right, the Ravid thinks, this is what he says explicitly in the Hasagas HaRif, that there's no machlokas between the Bavli and a discussion or an argument in the Yerushalmi, but rather we're talking about, you know, B'Shem Hashem HaMiyuchad, and believe Shem HaMiyuchad, and that's what's Koveya, whether or not there's Malkus or not. And again, he points out in the end of the piece that, again, Achar Zman Rav Matzasi Advarim Bifurashim Lehejah Basagas Arayvid, but that's what the Arayvid himself says very, very explicitly, that Ania Kayim Divrei Shneim Darminan Chutz Minizra Meber Mekal Chaver B'Shem is Dafka B'Shem HaMiyuchad Bilvad. But earlier, when he first, you know, discusses it, before he discovered the Ravid al Arif, he basically says, I don't really see why any of this should matter. So again, that formulation is V'arayvidim farish Yerushalmi koi dafka al kinuyim u'pluta d'chavray Rabbi Yossi who's a din b'fnei atzmo im yesh malkus b'kinuyim im lav v'edishayich klal l'membed Rabbi Yochanan sh'nemrit linyan lav shem b'maisa. That's the Kesef Mishnah's question as well. So again, obviously we understand this, that technically, you know, if you're talking about physical Maisa, then there's no difference between a Kinui and a Shema Miyucha, right? But we already, I think, understand that when you hold that there are certain exceptions to Lav Shema Maisa Lokan Olav, that there's two ways to understand them. Right. One is that, you know, you're fully on board with the fact that something is a lav shem b'maisa in every respect, but it's an exception to that rule. And the other is that in some exceptional cases, you know, we kind of widen our definition of a maisa. You know, it's either, there are two things that one could say. Either there's some different kind of a mechayiv at work, and therefore the normal rules of lav shiyesh or ein b'maisa don't apply. They apply, you know, if the Maisa Vera, you know, or the Maisa, the Pu'ula Sachet, you know, is responsible for the Malkus. But if there's some other, you know, category of Avera, you know, involved here, so maybe that whole rule just doesn't apply. Right? In Maisa Vera, so you need a Befoal Maisa Vera. And that's not necessarily true in, you know, rare cases where the Mechayev is different. That's one approach. Other approach is that, again, we don't, Rabbi Yochanan at some point says that Akimas Vasav, you know, have a Maisa. That's an interesting question generally. You know, what is and is not a Maisa in the world of Halacha for all sorts of things, right? There's no gray area about certain things being a Maisa, and there's probably no gray area about certain other things, you know, not being a Maisa, like Hirhur, you know, even if Hirhur is Kedibur, you know, mostly we think it's not a Maisa, and so on. Not stepping in to prevent something from happening, that's a total Sheval Tasa, you know, typically is not going to be a Maisa. And we also can understand that, you know, sometimes there's a gray area. So the whole question of Akimas, Svasav, you know, whether it is or isn't a Maisa, Dibur, is Dibur a Maisa or not? And does it matter you know, somebody showed him in Sugin Sanhedrin and Daf Samachay when they talk about, Azama. So there, some of the Rishonim say, oh, it also depends, how you, or what letters or what sounds or guttural, enunciations, you require, in some cases. Maybe that's a line, to draw. Much more, fruitful area is, what if something is mostly accomplished by a Maisa, but, you can do it in an unusual way, without a Maisa, right? Or vice versa. There's an unusual way to do this with a Maisa, but basically it's Eimba Maisa, or we've talked in the past on numerous occasions, whether Eimba Maisa and Yeshba Maisa depend on, the Befoal Kiyum, Ha'aveira, or they depend on the character, of the Iser and the Aveira, right? Appearing in the Mikdash, Reikam, without bringing, proper karbanos, is that a Maisa, Reikam, or is that a, lack of having brought, a karban? Many, many examples of these subtle points and distinctions. So in the Gemara, the Bavli, or in any it says something like, chutz mi nishba meimar, mekal es Hashem. So basically we can say it's an exception to the rule. And if we want to explain it better, we can say, and there's a different kind of a mechayev here. We'll talk about that in a second. Or another way for us to look at this problem might be to say that maybe akima spasov typically is not a maisa, because dibur is just dibur. But maybe there are certain diburim, that, register more loudly. I don't mean, decibly. I mean, something that gives them more stature. And consequently, we just look at them not so much as Sheval Tasa or lack of Maisa, but, the language that is used, just elevates it, in terms of its, registering or its significance, and as such, it becomes the equivalent of a Maisa. So these are things to think about. But anyway, but the question, Kesemish's question, which Ravelvel is kind of amplifying, is certainly based on a very reasonable assumption. I'm suggesting some alternatives to it, which is that simply if you're talking about, the objective act, whether something is or isn't a Maisa, then as far as that is concerned, seemingly plugging in Kinuyim or plugging in Shem Hashem, should not really be a material, shouldn't make a material difference to that particular question, and that's very reasonable. But then he goes on, Moshe, to do what? He says, well, let's take a step back and let's look at this whole, at the basis for Nishba, for rather Mekalel, as a shame. And he points out that what? That there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi. What's that? No, that comes, that he assumes is Nafkamina. But before that, what's the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Yeah, whether or not Nishba and Mekalel, come from the same pasuk or not. Right? So how does that go? Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that that the Malkus of Nishba comes from Lo Yinakeh, right? And that the Malkus of Mekalel comes from Imlo Tishmar, and so on. Correct? And Reish Lakish was of the opinion that both come from Imlo Tishmar. So Ravelvel says, it seems like the Nafkamina will be, Moshe, what's a Nafkamina? What you said before. If you're a Mekalel and you're Nishba, right, do you violate once or twice? And how many Malkios do you get? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, you should really get two Malkios and two Averos. And according to Reish Lakish, you should only be chayiv one Malkus and have violated one Aveiro. That's the analysis based on Yerushalmi. So Ravelvel says, I have another question. What's the other question?
They don't really have much to do with each other.
Yeah, in the end of the day, let's assume he's asking for Reish Lakish. He's saying, Rabbi Yochanan's fine. But according to Reish Lakish, you learn everything out from Hishamer, right? So just because you learn from one pasuk doesn't mean it's one shame iser on the surface. It's interesting, right? They're both diburim, but a shvua and a klala are very different, right? We understand that. And as such, you know, either way, wouldn't you think that you should be chayiv, you know, shnayim, even if it is from one makar? Again, you could always ask, he doesn't address the question. Another question that you could raise, which we talked about also, and that is the question of lav shebeklalos. That's because that's a little bit of a tricky topic. Right? Actually, in our sugya, there is a Rishon who raises the question of lav shebeklalos, specifically with regard to Ishamer, namely Josh? The Ritva. And he asks the question, he says, I don't get it, if you're going to say the Makar is Ishamer, then, you know, don't we learn all sorts of other things? You know, from Hisham, I don't know if I have it here. So what does he say about that?
And he says there are two main types of lav shebeklalos.
Yeah.
One where there's like the paradigm and they all are sort of like identical one way or another, and then where they all are different manifestations of like
And which one is Pater Mimalkus, according to him?
The one where they're all different. I never get it right.
The one when they're what?
They're different from each other.
Yeah. And what's the paradigm? The all the famous model? What's like you know, the number one obvious agreed-upon lav shebeklalos of all time?
L'sochol Adam.
L'sochol Adam, right? And L'sochol Adam includes like a wide range of... trying to find the ritva here. I don't understand the order. Right?
It's after, I mean, it's a great... After the mirror.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's before. It's
interesting. Right? Figure it out. We'll have to write that. So the Ritva here says, "Vimtomar im kain hechloke, hadarshin and kama mili mihai kra, shalay yamad b'makom sakana, shalay yochel shalay yishta dvarim aroyim." Wow. Okay. V'habalei lav shebeklalos shein lokan olam. The lav milsehi, the ha lav shebeklalos hu. The whole lav to lav shebeklalos. Sorry, kivin shekol azharos meinyan echade lishmor es atzmo. Lo hab lav shebeklalos el lo sochel al adam shenidrash laharbe inyanim chalukim. Kivisa perik ben tzorim more sanhedrin sanach gimel amid alef kasiv nohasam siyat shmai. We don't have the ritva, unfortunately, on sanhedrin. So of course, this is not such a davar pashut, and Josh was having a little bit of, you know, trouble there, you know, remembering the which way it goes. You know, I'm guessing, you know, because not because he knows too little chalila, but because he knows too much. So so-called adam is an example of lav shebeklalos, in which they're just like unrelated shemos iser, you know, under the same, you know, rubric. And if you want to contrast l'sochel al adam, then a good thing to do would be to say what the Ritva says. But it's not so simple, because the Gemara also seems to say that losa avdeim, right, which is a reference to Avodah Zarah, you know, also might be a lav shebeklalo. Same Gemara in on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm not sure. Do we still have anybody here from the Shabbos days? Sure. Okay. There you go. So. We'll just take it away. So Tosis on Sanhedrin, that in that same daf on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, right, asks, as we talked about the relationship of Shabbos and Yontif in those times. Because it has Sanhedrin in it, right? Tosis Samach Gimel Amud Aleph asks from how can you be loka melachos on Yom Tov? Right? Why don't you say because it says. You know, komalecha savoda losas. This Tosas here. Tosas talks about no mevushal and tzli. I feel my number of sotper kolsho the loki ano umevushal mishum tzliyesh vazog v'chartzon mishum kolashayasa v'gefen ayayin hanu mefarshi trei mikra delo ta'avdim delo mefarish kra the airi b'megapev umenashe. So you see, the whole direction of Tosas is actually coming from the opposite of what we just said, of what the Ritva said. The Ritva saying, oh, lo sav deim, the problem is it's too klali. It's too amorphous. There's no ma'isa averas in there. You know, could be, doesn't specify anything. You know, so the application of the gipuf and nishuk and all these, you know, abodazaras, you know, kedarkam, is, you know, kederach, those abodazaras, in other words, is all just fill in the blanks. And that's maybe a problem of lav shebeklalos. But no, umevushal, you know, tzliyesh, or zag, and chartzon, which are explicated, albeit there's still the same low in the pasuk, so it's one pasuk, which includes, you know, different items, says the Tosis, that's not lav shebeklalos. And then he goes on to ask, v'hodam ridim eperek beitza, perek hamad beitza nevashu gil anashu biyanda floke, right? V'loke chamesh, v'chad minayu hamevashu biyanda. So again, why don't you say that all melechas yom tov are lav shebeklalos? So he says, lo chashvinu lav shebeklalos, desiv kol melechas avoda lo sasu. This is already tricky, because no, mevushal, you know, zog, v'chartzon, those are mentioned in the pasuk. You might think or might discuss whether they're lav shebeklalos, because they're still sharing, right, the verb, right? But what about, you know, losasa, you know, kol melacha, or kol meleches avoda losasu, more specifically, right there, that sounds like losa of deim, right? So he says it's not like losa of deim, kemo losa of deim, the hacha, the hasam mefaresh tvei, dechsiv avoda, de mishtamea kol melacha shehi avoda. Right, Tosfos is getting very subtle, which again is, you know, good proof for us that it's okay to be subtle. Namely, that when the Torah says kol meleches avoda, right, it doesn't. It's true. It's not like chartzon and zug or no mevushal, you know, which are just sharing a low. But if we understand well what, you know, meleches avoda means, so it is more specific than losa of deim. And a good way to explain this is, again, we don't believe in avodah zarah. It's important to always remind people of that. And therefore, the acts of avodah zarah are just fill in the blank, because it's what pagan rituals or whatever they are happen to be. But they have no limitation. I mean, there are infinite possibilities, unhappily. And the bigger point is not so much how many, you know, possibilities there are, but it's just a totally, it's totally arbitrary. It's, you know, whatever the Avodah Zarah happens, you know, Zorek Evan Lamarkalis and Power Atzmo Lepor, you know. There's no yichus to it, because we don't believe in it. So it's, you know, the things that we, you know, decry that we're unhappy that they do to express themselves, whatever, and for whatever reason, you know, they are. But Melechus Avodah there's a list. It's a list that includes a lot of things. So, again, Tosis knows that Lo Sochal Adam is also a list. So apparently Lo Sochal Adam is a, this, I'm just trying to show the very fine line here. Lo Sochal Adam is a wide-ranging and unrelated, you know, list, right? And not eating, you know, before davening, and not, you know, when you can kill people, you know, in the context of Maisa Bezdin, and, you know, some of the other things, they have nothing to do with each. There's no common denominator. These aren't the examples, you know, the specific examples of a certain principle. Right? So, Tochal Adam is, and there's no Na Umavusho. It's a Tochal Adam. So, it's very specific, and it's extremely, it's Lav HaKolel Dvarim, you know, shonim, or nifradim, legam, right? And in the you're filling in the blanks in terms of, not arbitrarily, in other words, the words of Sochal Adam have just a range of totally unrelated meanings that are sharing, and consequently, that's called lav shebeklalos. According to Bali Tosas, another lav shebeklalos is where you have, you know, seemingly the parallel opposite, not lav hakolel dvarim sheinam nogim echad lasheni, but lav klali legamri, where there's no specifics. By definition, there are no specifics, right? Because the options are infinite and they're arbitrary and so on. But if you have, you know, one low which the Torah defines, you know, like Chartzon Vazug, or, you know, Noam Avushal, right? Or where the Torah hints at, you know, a kind of a distinctive, you know, group that is limited and that has certain hagdaros, right? So it's neither lo sochal al adam, nor is it lo sa'avdeim. It's not too kolel and it's not too klali, you could say, and therefore it's fine. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos also asks the same question of Tosas, but he goes the exact opposite way in giving the answer. Right? The Ramban says, oh, don't worry so much about comparing losa of deim and komalechas avoda losasu, because komalechas avoda losasu, there's a common denominator. You know, it's not, you know, totally distinctive, you know, averos, right? They share something in common. You know, a certain, you know, kind of constructive, creative, you know, malacha status. In other words, he asks the same question, but he gives the opposite answer. But if you look at the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos, he also is coming from the opposite perspective, because his view of Lo Sa'avdeim is that it includes Kedarka and Shelo Kedarka. That's Lo Sa'avdeim for the Ramban is a Lav Shebeklalos, not the way that it's a lav shebeklalos for Tosas and probably for the Rambam, namely it's too klali, but because it's too kolel. And therefore he's saying, oh, and what about, you know, melechas avoda? Isn't that too kolel too? Because lo harei zoreya, I'm adding to, you know, being mefarish. Lo harei zoreya kemake bepatish, you know, and lo harei, you know, kotzer, you know, co-save, you know. So I wasn't going to say gozes, because then you might say, it is pretty kamo. But anyway, we won't get into that. So the point is that he's starting from a different place. The question is, do they also argue about the way that they perceive Melechus Yom Tov? The Rav thought so. I'm not so sure about it, because I think that the different starting point, may have dictated what you want to emphasize. The point is, very briefly, that lav shebeklalos is an important category. It also has very important implications in general, you know, about there being a hierarchy, you know, of types of isurin. It isn't just, you know, a din. We need to understand it. The point is that when the Torah, again, just like intentional ambiguity is part of the Torah's program, right, using a certain phrase, like we talked about Bikurim the other day, or other things, or you know, Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, you know, the impression, even though it isn't Al Pidin, just as using certain phrases in certain strategic locations is intentional, you know, so too the decision, and just as we'll say, the decision of when what should be Mefurish Bakra and what should be Darshaned, and which way it should be darshaned, you know, is an intentional decision that probably implies some sort of hierarchy or something about particular dinim. So too, the decision, you know, to bundle, you know, together isurim in one pasuk or with one low, or in some cases, you know, distinctive lo tochal adam types, in other places lo sa'avdeim, or again, you know, to use the Rambam's lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, which according to the Rambam is a lav shebeklalos, right? These are all important perspectives on the hierarchy of dinim and halachos, and you know whether something is more of like an iser klali or an iser prati. The same way that, again, we had it in our sugyot here too, because again, when the Ran said about the Ravid, you know, and maybe Rashi, and maybe the Rambam, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe there's an Iser Gomor min HaTorah, which is subject to Malkus, you know, and so on, or Korban, when you have, you know, Shem Hashem, and then there's something Mipia Kabbalah, when you don't. So assuming that doesn't mean Drabanan, but as some said, I think I mentioned the Orachayim, that it has to do with not being mefurish bakra, or like things that we've seen in the past, like chatzishir and other things. So if you say chatzishir and things that are not mefurish bakra, chatzishir itself might be a kind of iser klali. Other things that are, these are all hierarchies in Torah, which really characterize the nature of certain isurim and their relationship to each other. So what am I telling you all this for? Just getting back to the point that in discussing the Ravid and the idea that Shema Miyuchad versus Kinui is Koveya Malkus, so the question is, why should that matter, if we're talking about Lav Shema Maisa, Lokin or Ein Lokin Alav, A. And B, regarding the Yerushalmi's Ha'ara, that there's a Machlokas or Yochar Veshlokish, and that the Nafkamina will be whether you're Chayiv Shtayim or Chayiv Achas. So basically, Rav Elbel is asking, who cares what the limud is in the end of the day? Aren't we talking about separate Shemos Isur? Mekalel lo harei mekalel kenishba. And as such, since they're very different Mechaibim, the Rambam's going to put one in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and he's going to put the other, in Hilchos Shavuos or whatever. So if they're so different, then, why would they only be Loka Achas? So what I'm trying to point out is that there is a whole, other way of answering both of those questions. One is that, whether something is or isn't a Maisa, or whether you need a Maisa, could be dictated by the question of a small point, seemingly a small point from a physical point of view, but the difference between Shema Miyuchad and a Kinui. And number two is that, the decision, of the Rabbonu Shel Olam to teach us Shavua and Mekalel, according to Reish Lakish's understanding of divine will, right? That they come from the same Pasuk, indeed, might be consequential. And that really belongs at least to the larger topic of Lav Sheba Klalos. The only thing is that Lav Sheba Klalos itself is a very subtle topic and is subject to huge debate. And the Ritva's comment here about Hishamer, which is very relevant to that comment, to that Ha'ara of Rav Elbel, itself takes a certain position which is not uniformly accepted. You have to just look very carefully at the Rambam and Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos and the Shurashim, and you have to look at, the Balei Tosas and other Rishonim all over Shas. When they talk about Lav Sheba Klalos, what is that, really based on? Is it Lav HaKolel? Is it Lav Klali? There are different types of Kolels and different types of Klalis. There are different types of Lav Sheba Klalos in terms of, as I mentioned, maybe the Yerchai for the Ikar Alav, but not to the Tafel. Sometimes there is no Ikar in Tafel. They're all equal, and therefore none of them get Malkios. It's a tricky, tricky kind of a topic. Okay. Having said that, Velvel himself suggests, a different approach to solve this problem. And that is, based on this discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, he basically suggests what, Moshe? What's the solution? Exactly. To attain this, he basically argues that two things are happening, at least in one of the cases, possibly in both cases, at the same time. Because what he really wants to say, and this is where you could have also been a company, but it's important to understand, that he's reconstructing backwards. Because Rav Elbel sees before him the reality that the Ravid didn't say. Let's say the Ravid had said that, with Shema Miyuchad, you get Malkus from Akala. And without Shema Miyuchad, nothing happens. Right. So then you could have said, you'd still be left with an interesting question, and that is why is this an exception to Lav Shema Miyuchad? Except that you could have given an easier answer and just say that the Haggadah of Mekalel includes a certain level of shame. That's really why it wouldn't have bothered him as much. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that he needs, within the worldview of the Ravid, to have two Mekalels, right? A makalo bekinui, and a makalo b'shem ha-miyuchad. And therefore, he's just troubled, right? Why does the shem ha-miyuchad put this over the top, you know, in terms of malchus? If it's not part of the hagdara of klala, which is just an exception, then how can there be two klalos? So what he's essentially arguing is that there aren't two klalos, but there are two different things that happen at the same time when you're makalo b'shem ha-miyuchad. When you're makalel, right, so the gold, forget the vehicle that you use, is not so important, is not as important. The shem ha-miyuchad, kinui, you need some sort of shem ha-shem, because that's what I guess the hagdara of a makalel or a klala is. But basically, it's the klala, which is the maisa, and which is the mechayev. And in parallel, that is true about nishba, you know, as well. Like when you're nishba, so you have to, maybe you need shem Hashem, according to this group of Rishonim, right? But it's the shvua, which is the avera, and that stands in its own right. However, he argues, with Mekalel, and at least according to Reish Lakish, with Mekalel and with Nishba, in addition to Mekalel and Nishba, there's a separate din, there's a separate Isser at the same time that is taking place, and that is Zilzul Shem Hashem. So when you're Mekalel B'Shem HaMiyuchad, or Nishba B'Shem HaMiyuchad, right, according to, let's say, Reish Lakish, both, and for Yochanan and one, right, you're doing two different things. And the Chiyuv, Malkus, is related to the Shem HaMiyuchad part. That's what, in other words, Nishba and Mekalel, per se, are typical, you know, Ein Lokin, Alav, Shein Bamaisa. And they're Dibor, and we're not paskening Akimas Fasav HaBamaisa. So in the end of the day, you're not Loke for Mekalel, and you're not Loke for Nishba. But what you are loke for is the Shamer Lecha, you know, for the Yiras Shamayim breach of being Mezalzel Shem Hashem. Right. And that's, you know, why he likes the fact that the Ravid on Sagas Al-Arif, like, expands on the Pasuk, you know, and on the Mechayiv, you know, so much. So it's a lot of Shem B'maisa, but in the end of the day, you know, Zilzel Shem Hashem and Zilzel Yiras Shemayim, he associates Shem Hashem and Yiras, the Pasuk does, and Yiras Shemayim, which is fascinating, because he noted, again, Shem Hashem is associated with the presence of the Shekhinah, right? That's the Unklus everywhere. And Zilzel B'Shem Hashem is a Zilzel of Yiras Hashem. Not just the Shem, but the bigger sense of Yiras Shemayim, essentially. So that's Reb Belville's chiddush, that Nishba and Mekalel are not Chayiv Malkus, but Zilzel Shem Hashem, and the context is. But here, Gufa, then you have the Machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, basically Nishba and Mekalel are different, right? And it's only in Mekalel where you have this, using a Shem Hashem for a Klala, right? That constitutes Zilzul Shem Hashem, and that is, you know, an exception to the rule of Lav Shem B'Maisa Lokan Olam. It's a different, this is what I said before, anticipating, it's a different Mechayev. Zilzul Shem Hashem, or slapping, you know, in the face, the notion of Yiras Shamayim, that generates Malkus even without a Maisa. As for, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according, but Nishba, that's Lo Sishmu Vishmi La Shaker. Right, and that remains, you know that the mechayev there is not actually that, which is kind of interesting. The mechayev there is not the Shem Hashem Hamizulzal, right? It's the shvua. So what you need to say is something like the other model, the Shem Hashem in the context of shvua, right, enriches or upgrades the Shvua and turns it into the equivalent of a kind of kumbase, halachic kumbase. But, according to Reish Lakish, who thinks that Hishamer is the makar for Malkus in both, so that means that neither Shvua nor Mekalel, right, has the ability, is turned into a Maisa, and itself triggers Malkus. Just that the Shem Hashem, the Zilzul Shem Hashem, even in Shvua, never mind Mekalel, and I think it's very logical, very understandable why you might be Mechalek, and why Rabbi Yochanan is Mechalek between them, in terms of which Zilzul Shem Hashem. Zilzul Shem Hashem in Mekalel is particularly egregious, and Zilzul Shem in Nishba becomes egregious because you don't fulfill your commitment, because you lie about it. But it's still not Mekalel. So the question is that also an independent Mechayev, notwithstanding that it's not a Maisa? Yeah.
Just putting it back into the Bible, at the Gemara in Tumah, when it talks about Rabbi Yochanan, on Gemara Hey, it says that he says, take off Mamer off the list, because really you are listing a Maisa did two. It implies that the other two.
Yeah, because it also may have, might be Chal. Yeah.
But it sounds like from there that he thinks that the other two, Nishba and Kala, is, you know, there really is no Maisa.
Right. It definitely sounds that way. So, you know, maybe this analysis, at least the Rabbi Yochanan part, may work better maybe in the Yerushalmi than in the Babli. I'm not sure. But that's basically what he argues. And that's why the Ravid al Arif is such a fine, because of the emphasis there is so much on the Pasuk itself, and everything that goes with it. Yeah.
On this view in the Ravid, it doesn't seem like the Ravid in Mekalel is a good parallel for the Ravid in Shavuos, because it's not two different degrees of the same Isser, one with Malkus, one without.
Right. So that's a very good point. That's one of the reasons that I was emphasizing it so much. According to, I think one could say that generally, but Revelvel's approach basically, I kind of alluded to it when I said it then. I said, you know, it depends on the Revelvel, but that's exactly what I meant. I mean, according to Revelvel, basically, it's not the lav of Mekalel or Nishba, you know, but, you know, a different form of it. It's really that in one case you have the Mechayev, you know, which generates the Malkus, and in the other cases you don't. The reason I was mentioning before that you could have said it a different way, namely that it registers as more of a Maisa, just like all year long and you know, many other years. We've been talking about the fact that, you know, Sheva Taisa and Kumvase, again, normally we know what they are. And we also know that there's some gray areas. But we also know that sometimes there are other factors, you know, that can make a difference. Again, we had it earlier this year, right? Yesh koch b'ad chachamim lachar davar minat Torah b'sheva taisa b'kumbase, right? Tosas in Brachos and Tosas in Yevamos, and discussions of the Rishonim here in Shavuos, right? We were talking about it in the beginning of the Perek and the Flamin. You know, and our essentially a lot of our discussion of the Chiyuv Agadah. Again, the Chiyuv Agadah, we're trying to say, you know, turns the silence or the Kvishas Eidus into a Kumbase in some respect. So the idea that, you know, using Shem Hashem, or even the Zil, I think it's still, Raul doesn't say it, but you could say, the Mechayiv of Zilzul in this context also ends up, you know, upgrading, you know, the klala or the shvua, you know, into something not objectively a kimas dvara, but just like, just like a dibur da isavid be maisa. There are two ways to understand dibur da isavid be maisa, have a maisa too, which is what you're talking about in terms of the sugya and tmura. Right? One is that the effect itself, you know, is enough for lav shem b'maisa lo kenala, to be a lav sheish b'maisa. And the other is that it's dibur disabed be maisa, meaning it's not the isabed be maisa that's enough. It's that a dibur disabed be maisa, we don't just look anymore at it as a dibur. We look at it as tchilas maisa. Or, I would say there are three ways to say it. One is dibur disabed be maisa is the maisa. The other is that it makes the dibur into kind of a tchilas maisa, right? Like we were talking about, you know, yediyas and riyas. And the third way is that it's a shiur in dibur itself, you know, in the quality of dibur, it upgrades the dibur, you know, to being a maisa. So I think that you know, we could take a lot of this analysis, and it might explain that, you know, it's a little bit more integrated, although Rav Avel himself has it really as two things going on at the same time that are unrelated. And I think, again, the comparison to between Klala and Shvua, either way, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is a very interesting perspective. Okay. That's in terms of the Kalel. And then finally, I wanted to speak about Lav Shein B'maisa, Mechlala Vata Shomea Hein, according to the Maskana of the Gemara. So Adam, want to read just quickly for us? That just... because it revisits, and it's a good lead into Shavuos HaPikadon.
Mara talks about Al Yaakov Chal Yivarechacha Ve'etiv Lachar B'Meir Mechai V'Chacham and Potrin. So Gemara asks, V'Halis D'Ler Meir Mechal Av Tashem Yehain. He's a man that Amar in Kiddushin that doesn't hold of it.
Yeah.
Ipoch, so Gemara says, flip the gear, so. Ki Asar Rabbi Yitzchak Tana Kedit Tanan. Amar Rabbi Yosef Hashad the Anan Tanan Hachi V'Chi Asar Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Hachi. Shemamina Davka Tanan. Really, it should be the other way like we have it. El Kasha. So my answer is ki leisli b'mamona aval b'yisura islay.
So what do you make of this distinction between mamona and yisura?
Maybe mamon's more formal.
Yeah. So again, you know, one way to look at it is a more pragmatic way, which is oh motzimich v'alavaraya, and therefore you need greater birur. And you know, there is some evidence, you know, for that. It always strikes, you know, you a little bit as being a little problematic because, you know. On the one hand, motzimich v'alavaraya, and we sometimes have a higher threshold as a result, because you have a toin and a nitan, you have somebody else's rights, you know, at stake. At the same time, you know, it's a little hard for us to sometimes understand why isurim, you know, money is always something you can return, you know, and that's why t'nai davar shiva mamon is kayam, you know, it's a more flexible area, it's less a stake, you know, and so on. And isurim are, you know, isurim. So, right. So the second approach would be what I think what Adam said, which is that the issue isn't Chomer and Kal or the rights of the Nitan, that may be one approach, but maybe it is about, you know, more contractual or formal language. But that, of course, also brings you to the question of things like, you know, the Darim and Shavuos and, you know, where there might be other reasons for formal language. And in addition, you know, having to compare this to, again, Yadayim Shein Mochichos, you know, and those kind of issues. We already talked about the Ramban, you know, who makes the terrific Ha'ara here, that the Ritva then, you know, attacks, and that is, oh, even if you hold Mechlalava to Shomei Hein, you know, in terms of plugging the holes, and in terms of even being maybe a form of Dibur, maybe even Dibur Mufurash, you know, but maybe it doesn't qualify for Kishama Kol Ola. And the Ritva was saying, I don't get that. Maybe it is. If you hold Mechlalava to Shomei Hein, it doesn't just mean we know what he means. Maybe it merely constitutes Dibur. And we know it's enough for a Lassar Isar al Nafsho. So is there any difference between Les or Isar and Shama Kol Allah? And it's if it's because of the, you know, extra uses of the words to make it more emphatic or make it more of a formal Lashon, but it's Darshan for things. So we talked about that already. Okay, but I think the general idea that in Mamanis and Tanayim in particular, Mishpatei Tanayim, you know, constitute a more formal language, a contractual language, and Dafka because it is something that relates to two parties, and therefore, not just that, oh, so there are two rights, you have to be more careful, you know, motzi mechav alavra. I don't mean that. I mean it in a bigger way, meaning if there's more than one party involved, so knowing, you know, what something is intended or even, you know, conveying its meaning, you know, isn't enough. You have to protect, you know, it's by definition, you know, more than you. It's not between you and the Rabbona Shalom. It's, you know, it's... like, it has to be a formal language, it has to be contractual legal language, because it affects multiple parties who have an interest, you know, who have opposite interests, let's say, or conflicting interests in the case. So I think that you're right, that is the idea. And of course, this has to integrate into the whole question of, you know, Mishpatei Tanayim, there being different types. Something we talked about last year, which I'm not going to get into right now, except for the 1 minute I'm going to say about it this minute, and that is, are all Mishpatei Tanayim the same? And that's something to look at in terms of who demanded them, Rav Meir, Chachamim, etc., other people, and whether or not they're all subject to some of the factors that sometimes you know, allow us to ignore them. You know, things like what about the effect of umdana demuchach, and what about the effect of the word almanas, right, or the beachshav kala omer almanas ki lo omer meachshav, the timing. What about the difference between mamon, let's say, and ishus? That whole debate among the Gaonim, which again the Rishonim here bring up, the Ramban and the Ran and the Rush, you know, and they quote the Rashbam and Baba Basra. Last year we spent time on the Rambam and Ravid and the Pesachia and the Tshuvas HaRash about, you know, Tanaim Bil Sachriti. So the point is that if you just identify the Mishpatei Tanaim, right, some of them clearly are about formal, contractual, legal language. Tanai Kofel, Hain Kodim Lalav, mostly seems that way. Definitely Mechlala Vata Shomea Hain, assuming that there aren't real gaps. It's about like formulating things properly, legally. And then there are others like Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad, maybe another perspective on Hain Kodim Lalav, Tanai Kodim Lamaisa, certainly things like you know, Davar, you know, Masa Mashukas of the Torah, or Davar Shi'i Efshar, or Efshar Lekiyumi Alidei Shliach, which are issues of, you know, either Bailus, or the relationship between the Maisa, you know, and the Tanai, right? You know, Tanoim are Okrim, Tanoim are Mekaimim. Again, going back to that Rashi again, you know, with Rabbi Kiveger on, you know, Amein Bolashon Kabbalah, right? So, it's a mixed bag, but certainly part of the story, you know, seems to be the issue of formal legal language. So the parts that are very much part of this question here. Okay, let's continue.
Mara asks a question. Still, if it's Yisura, Hari Sota the Yisura, Huva Amar Rabbi Tanchem Bar Chachinoi, Hinoki Ksiv, Taima Dechsev, Hinoki Halav Hachim, Mechlal Lav Tashem Ehem Lomrinon.
Yeah.
Mara says again, Ela Ipoch, Afilu V'Yisura Leislei. So it sounds like he doesn't hold a michal ever.
Yeah.
But there's a problem because maskef le'ravina that the yisur le'isleil ela me'ata shesu yayin apurei rosh to b'misa hachin amid le'isleil lehem meyer v'hatnan elu shebemisa shesu yayin apurei rosh. So he has to hold of it. Ela le'olam tipoch ki le'isleil b'memono b'yisura isleil v'shayni sota de yisura de'is b'memonohu.
Yeah. So here in the end of the Gemara, of the end of the parak, you have a machlokas, Rashi, Tosas, and people line up. What's a machlokas, Adam?
Whether or not we're mahapich.
Are we mahapich or not? And so what does Rashi say?
That we are, because that would cause problems for Shesuyayin.
Shesuyayin and Purei Rosh, and you need to know, everybody agrees if they're Chayev Misa, right? So we need to be Mahapik them. So what is Rashi, what's the interesting point of Rashi that we want to bring up here?
So according to Rashi, we have to say that... So it comes out from Rashi that, whereas Mahavim, you know, we seemingly assume that Shvosaidus was Isura, now we're assuming the maskana that it's Mamona.
Yeah. Ubalav Epoch.
Isura de Espe Mamon. Ubalav Epoch Leka Latrutza, the Imkain the Remer Shvor, the Masnisan Isura Grid Dahi, the Alkorach Behachi Etzrech Lon Ukme, the Huashba Seidachad, Chino, Mamon.
Right. The question whether they have that gears or not, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Irabon and Patriba, Alma Leslu Mechlal Lav Tashemehena, Philobi Isura Grida, Imkain Shusayan, the Bimisa, the Rabon and Minolahu.
Okay, and Tosis?
Tosis quotes the Girsa, third line, Bisfarm Hayakosov Lo Tipoch. The Hiksha, by contrast, the Rabban de Patre, me Leislehu, the Shisuyan, Bemisa, the Nilatarit, the Hadde Patre, Mishum de Boyan, and Shemam Yuchad. The Inua Elo Kimkoi, Afal Gavdik Fari Fligu, I did the Tanar Mayor Machayev Tananami Chachal and Potrin. So Machalk isn't about Mechlal at all, it's about a separate point we already know about.
Right. So what ends up in terms of the coin to Tosis? What's going to end up?
This comes out that the Chorosh was saying this is an Isura.
So this is, and who, he doesn't really spell it out so much.
The Rashba talks about it.
But the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva spell it out more. Right. It's interesting if you look very carefully, again, I don't want to make more of it, but let's just put it in context. So what is the context? What's so interesting? I mean, it's interesting in its own right, obviously. But what's particularly interesting and why is this a particularly good place, you know, to end the parak?
The question is, Shvosaidos Isura.
All parak, we've been dealing with the question. You know, for the first time you read the pasuk in Vayikra, you know, continuing along, you know, in the Yomi and the Shavuot, right? You know, every single, you know, issue connected to Shavuos Ha'edus, we've been trying to figure out, you know, where the Chol Shemesh part you know, ends, and you know, how much of it is that, and how much of it is the Shavua part. You know?
Minimally, it certainly has an Isser component according to everyone.
It certainly has an Isser component to everybody, and it certainly has a Mammon component according to everybody, if by Mammon you mean that the subject matter is Mammonist, meaning we know that if it was, you know, that's perfectly clear in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara, right? If the topic, you know, had zero connection with Chol Shemesh Pad, right, there would be no Din of Shavuos Ha'edus. There would be a Chovas Hagadah Ha'edus, but there would be no Shavuos Ha'edus. That's perfectly 100% clear. So that there's an Isser is clear, and that the topic, you know, matter is Mammon is clear. But beyond that, you know, is it, you know, Shavuos Sheyesh Bo Kviras Mammon? Or is it, you know, again, Kvisha Seidus or Hefsed Mammon Al Yedei Kvisha Seidus Al Yedei Shvua? You know, those are the issues that we've been fighting about all along. So you could say, in assessing this argument of the Rishonim in the very, very last, words of the Perek, you could say it's not really machlokes about Shavuos Ha'edus at all. It's just, you know, cause as Adam said very well, right? Since everybody will acknowledge there's an Isser component, and everybody will acknowledge, you know, that there is a minimal Mammon component, so maybe the argument just revolves around, you know, how much, how much Mammona you need, you know, an Isura Sheyesh B'Mammona, you know, to qualify for the din of Mechlal Avat Shomea Hein, you know, yes or no, right? However, having said that's certainly possible, and it's equally possible that the more comfortable you are in saying that Shavuos Ha'edus, the Mechayev, is the Chol Shemesh Pad part, you know, then the more comfortable you're going to be with calling this Isura Sheyesh B'Mammon. And, you know, the more you think that the Chiyuv Shvua is Koveya, the more, you know, you're going to be Mistayeg a little bit. Now, if you take there are really two issues going on here at the same time. If your threshold for what really constitutes Mammona Legabe Mechlalava to Shemeya Hein, meaning Isura Sheyesh B'Mammon, is a higher one, then it becomes our question to try to figure out whether Shavuos Ha'edus, you know, really fits or not. So if you look at the Ramban, for example, he really does have different, you know, formulations. I think the Rajba is a teeny different, at least in the beginning, and I thought that was relevant, you know, to what we've been seeing throughout, but not in a way that I would, you know, argue to. In the end, I think the Rajbal uses some of the formulations of the Ramban, but later. But I think the Ramban is much more comfortable, you know, with minimizing the amount of Mammon that there is in Shavuos Ha'edus. He's certainly very comfortable for, you know, understanding the view that it's Isura She'en B'Mammon, is what I'm trying to say. And after all, it's and even when he tries to explain that it's Isura Sheyesh B'Mammon, according to the other view, right? He because Yesh Tzad Mammon, you know, for the Balei Din, and you know, it's Isur because, you know, the Edom themselves certainly have no, you know, chiyuv mammon, right? This, again, the Ramban, of course, the Shitasa, but this, not just the Ramban, Rashi, most 90% of the Rishonim, Bava Kama, and Daf Nun Vav, who said there's no Dina de Garmi for the Edom, right? But remember that the Ramban said there's no Dina de Garmi for the Edom because it's, you know, the Chovas Haggadah is like an act of tzedakah. He went way further. You know, and again, I think that's part of the whole Ramban orientation in Shavuos Ha'edus too. In Chovas Haggadah, the Ramban was already in Kuntres Dini Degarmi downplaying, you know, the Mammon side. And then we saw in numerous cases, particularly in Harsha, and particularly in his answer for the Tshuvas Arif, in other words, and his distinction, you know, his avoiding the distinction that the Rajba and the Tosa Rosh make regarding the difference between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon, right, we saw that the Ramban had other indications, even in the Shavuos Bitui issue, that, you know, unlike the Rajba, you know, he you know, is not all in on Shavuos HaEvus being a mechayev of mum. So the fact that he can understand, you know, that it should be only Isura, or that even when it is mamon, that it's the mamon, you know, of the nidon, not the choshem mishpat kind of violation of the edim, I think makes, you know, a lot of sense. It's consistent. And the Ritva mostly goes along with that, which I think he normally goes along with in general, too. Whereas the Rajba, I think, is a little bit more mistaken. He does use some of the Lashonos of the Ramban, but it seems to me, at least, that he's a little bit less, you know, enthusiastic about all of this. So, again, I just think it's interesting. It's an interesting siyum to the Perek, you know, in a core issue that it deals with. Okay. Should we start, or should we, or it's late? Start? We have 5 more minutes, at least. Let's just raise the question. So we know a lot. I mean, this is really the starting point of the next paragraph, too, much of which we've done. But, you know, let's just follow through with some of the details. There are also some issues that we haven't done. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, Shibu Karkos and Karkin and Exelis. And we'll talk about one of the things we need to talk about right away is the psukim. Let's just read the beginning of the Mishnah, and then I'll just tell you what I want you to look at, and we'll continue with this tomorrow. Adam, go ahead, if you don't mind. Shavuos HaPikadon.
Shavuos HaPikadon, Ohages, Ba'anashim, U'Ba'anashim, Berechokim, U'Bakrovim, Mekshirim, U'Bapsulim, Bifnei Beisim, Shalob Bifnei Beisim, Mithi Atzma, Mithi Achirim, Eino Chayv, Ashiach, Pireno, the based in Divere Meir, Bechachalim Omrim, Bein Mithi Atzma, Bein Mithi Achirim, Kema Shekofar, Bo Chayv.
Yeah, so that we know, that's a Don Mino Mino, Don Mino Buka Ba'atra. We talked about that extensively. So we're good. We know what that is all about. Okay.
V'chayiv al zodon ha-shvua ve'al shegi gosa yim zodon ha-pikadon ve'eno chayiv al shegi gosa girito.
Okay, that we also have discussed, both in Shavuos HaEvus and in Shavuos HaPikadon. We're familiar with that. But here comes a little bit something that is a little bit new. Go ahead.
V'chayiv al zodona asham v'kesef shekalim.
So the differences between Shavuos HaEvus and Shavuos HaPikadon, right, are all fair game, you know, for our scrutiny to try to figure out, again, you know, whether or not, you know, these are just pratim and gzeres hakasuvs, or they're related to other distinctions. Some distinctions between Shavuos HaEvus and Shavuos HaPikadon are going to result from the fact that, let's assume they were equally weighted in the Choshen Mishpat contribution and Mechayev, but as we've discussed previously, there is a, you know, self-evident, you know, reason for some of the distinctions just from a Choshen Mishpat point of view itself. Right? One case we're dealing with, Gezel, or satellites of Gezel. L'kula and L'chumra, you might say, oh, but this is a diluted Gezel. Let's look at it that way. Let's say from both points of view. You know, the classic Gezel is Vayigzal Sachanis Miyana Mitzri, where there's a Maisa Gezela. And here it's, you know, Bante Ras Eliado, and it's B'shev al Taisa, and it's B'dibor. We just spent a couple of minutes speaking about, you know, Diburim, which aren't really Maisim, Diburim, which are Mais. It's a Dibur Disavid Be Maisir, keeping the guy's, you know, objects away from him. But from a, all I'm saying is, from a pure Choshen Mishpat point of view, if you were to analyze Shavuos HaEvus and Shavuos HaPikadon, there are things to be weighing in both directions. There are reasons to think that Shavuos HaPikadon should be more makel from a Choshen Mishpat point of view. And let's say because it isn't a classic Shvua, and it is Al Yidei Dibur, and it is Bet Teiras Eliado, and so on. Moreover, you could say that, you know, there are plenty of parshios of Gezel in the Torah, you know, so for this to be about the Gezel part is a little, maybe superfluous, unlike, let's say, Shvuas Eidus, where the whole idea that Edim have a financial responsibility or are connected, you know, or are viewed to be part of the process of loss, never mind really causing loss, which remember, there were some Rishonim who said that too. Right, we're talking about the Ramban and Kutrasina de Garmi and Rashi who rejected it, but there was a group of Rishonim, remember, that thought that you really, you know, the Edim are really Chayev Midina de Garmi. So, but the point is that the whole idea, the whole Choshen Mishpat connection to Edim, as opposed to saying, you know, it's pure Isura, they, you know, it would be nice for them to come to court, maybe, you know, that's Misariv Bariv Lo Lo, or maybe it's his right, whatever. All that comes from the Parsha of Shuas Eidos. Unless it comes from, again, Chovas HaGadah may come from other things too, but not a specific, but it would come from either from Dinim Klalim, like Hashavas HaVeda, or Lo Samar Adam Reyecha, things we talked about in the very beginning of the year, right? Or they would come from, you know, the most specific thing it could come from is this pasuk, separately or as a, you know, as a linchpin for the rest, or as part of the actual din. That's what we talked about, you know, throughout the whole parak. But for Shuas HaPikadon, you might say, A, it's an inferior gzela as a gzela, you know, maybe. And B, you know, we have plenty of parshios about gzela, you know, and Beheshev is like gzela shogazal, and the lo sigzol, and so on. And so what this parsha here is about is something different. On the other hand, that's the one side, you know, 1A and 1B, as opposed to Shavuos. On the other hand, the fact that, you know, in Shavuos we're dealing with third parties, or a third-party unit, the kat, the haraya that they don't have to pay, according to 90% of the Rishonim, right? Whereas here we're dealing with the gazlan himself, you know, who's suppressing the other guy's money, and even the parsha, right, in Shuas HaPikadon, declares the obligation of, you know, his obligation to pay. So maybe that's a good reason, both objectively and the parsha, you know, to think that this is much more Choshen Mishpat centric. Okay, so it's another parsha that adds, you know, an added dimension to the Dine Gzela, but it's very Gzela oriented. That would be the other side of it, and it's direct, and we're dealing with the Gazlan. We're not dealing with the, you know, third parties who could make a difference, you know, but they didn't cause the problem. They just refused to give the solution, the exclusive solution, the also solution, as the case may be. So from that perspective, you know, this would be a lot more Choshen Mishpat oriented, one would think. So, you know, then the question, what I'm trying to say is, differences between Shavuos and Shavuos HaPikadon could be by virtue of the fact that, you know, one is the direct gezela with everything that goes with it, l'kula l'chumra. The other is a third party, you know, impact, solving the problem but not causing the problem, being more indirect. For example, and therefore the dinim, assuming that the Choshen Mishpat role was the same, would still be plenty of chilukim by virtue of that. The din of Rab Shimon, which we'll get to in a second, of kivin shigin shuvin chozer umagid, the requirement of bezdin, you know, lahalacha, where we paskin like the chachamim, not like Rab Meir, right? And even if you were to paskin like Rab Meir, you know, there would be an acknowledgement of somebody different. This is a great example of, even if you were to say equal Choshen Mishpat for various reasons, or just close your eyes to the differences, but we're still dealing with, in one case, with a gzela, and the other case with a din of Eidos, and surely that justifies some differences. Beyond that, would we also say, you know, that some of these differences and others dictate that the Choshen Mishpat role, you know, is in a different ratio or balance? Well, that's what we've been discussing. In which direction? That's what we've been discussing. Reb Chaim in the Rambam, you know, versus what I'm suggesting in the Rambam, what the Rajba says, and so on. Right? So these are all, so my point is that when you look at, you know, differences between Shuas Eidos and Shuas HaPikadon that emerge, right, you have to try to figure out, are these differences because of the different Choshen Mishpat parts? Right? They're not likely because of the different Shavua parts per se, right? Or are they because also of the different role of Choshen Mishpat in the bigger scheme? I mean, how much Yisr, how much Choshen Mishpat? Not the difference of the Choshen Mishpat themselves. So one thing to note right away is that while Shuas Eidos is Chatas, Shuas HaPikadon is an asham. Okay, we're not going to spend so much time on that, but I'll talk about it for a couple of minutes at least, not now, but I guess tomorrow. What's the implication of something being an asham versus being a chatas, you know, in general? Okay. But it's not just that. There's another difference too, see? And it's interesting where this difference is spoken about and where it's not spoken about. What other difference? Not just the Asham. What else? I mean, there's Tashlumin, but that we kind of just talked about, because there's no Tashlumin for Shuas Eidos except for the Tosas Rin and those people. Right? What else?
Chomesh.
A Chomesh. In the Parsha. We'll look at the Parsha for tomorrow. Just look at it quickly. The Asham and the Chomesh are both different. Are they the same? Is the Chomesh mentioned in the Mishnah? Adam?
No.
No. Where is the Chomesh discussed? I mean, it's in the Psukim.
Ksubis.
In Bava Kama. You should look very quickly at the Gemaras in Bava Kama on Kuf Hei Amud Beis to Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, and again Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and the Rashi, Tosas, and Rambam's there at least. Very quickly. Look here at the Rambam Perek Zayin Halacha Tes in Hilchos Shavuos, the Rambam, and Halacha Tes Vav. Right, and at Tosas again, Kuf Hei Amud Beis, Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, the Girsos, the... What is the relationship between Chomesh and everything else? Chomesh is not mentioned in this Mishnah. It's discussed primarily in the Sugis on a Gozo. Is that important or not? Okay, let's just continue for another minute. Go ahead.
Shvuas hapikadon ketzad. Amar lo tein li pikdonishi yesh libiadcha. Shvuas ein lecha biyadi oshe amar lo. Ein lecha biyadi mashbiacha ani v'amar amen. Harei zechayev.
Yeah.
Okay,
so 2 points just very quickly. First of all, the examples. We'll leave the examples for a moment. But this issue of Rab Shimon is a great example, right, of what we just talked about, right? The difference within Chosh Mishpat itself. But it makes you wonder, given other differences in Chosh Mishpat between them. In other words, the idea that this is an Eidos Halacha, and therefore you have the din of Kivin Shikin Shivin Chosar Magi, it doesn't have its parallel in Shvus HaPikadon. But you just wonder, maybe there would be a different reason why Shvus HaPikadon wouldn't be subject to so many multiple Chiyuvim that doesn't apply to Shvus HaEidos, that makes the halachic distinction not as obvious, even though it's not debated. Meaning, Adam?
Gzeilah only once.
What?
Gzeilah only happens once.
Yes. It may be easier, or it's something to at least think about, that kvishas edus, because precisely you're not causing the loss, right? But you can always, you know, proffer the solution. Right? And every time you refuse to, you know, that could be a problem. Especially, you know, if it's a tenai in the Shavua being the Mechayev. But if we're talking about actual Gezel, it's an interesting question to ask. You know, ain't Gonev Achar Ganav, that's more of something more specific, it might be only about the Neva. But whatever, what I mean is, if something is already Gezel, or maybe that's the point in terms of Chetza Shogzela. Is there Gozel Achar Gozel, is what I'm saying. There might have been, you know, another reason why you would have to limit Shvus HaPikadon to what? Misha says it's not true. So is that because, again, it's just about the Sheker? Or is, even from a Choshe Mishpah point of view, is the fact that it's a slightly different kind of Gezel what allows it to be Gezel Achar Gezel? But it certainly is an obvious. Yeah. No, that's why, according to Rav Shimon, you can only be once if it's a Bezdin.
Yeah,
he,
but
Kim Ching Shuv Magid. Chutz Bezdin, we do say you're chayiv on each one. But what I'm saying is, you could say because each time, you know, it's a Shvua Shal Kvisha Seidus, because each, you know, you could solve the problem now, you could solve the problem then tomorrow, you could solve the problem the next day or the next minute. Moreover, the more you think of it, let's say, not in terms of money, it's not, at least not the money that you're not being mafsid mamon either way. It's too grama-esque, according to most Rishon, according to 90% Rishon. Right? So there's no halacha per se that there's no kvisha achar kvisha, but maybe once you've stolen, I'm just saying, maybe once, Adam agrees, I guess, once you've stolen something, you know, maybe you stole it until you returned it. Repeating, you know, the act is not the same. At least that's a question to ask. I mean, the Mishnah says it's not true. But it's not true because the Shavua part is the dominant element. Had the Gezel part been the dominant element, that would have been true or not? That we don't know. I'm suggesting that. I'm suggesting that from a Gezel point of view, there would be another good reason, just like there's good reason to Mechalek, you know, in favor of Shavua Seidus being limited, Bibezdin, by saying Kivitshigitshuvin Choser Magid, I would say, even Chutz Lebezdin, there might have been reason to limit Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore it's a little more of a chiddush to me, because maybe I would say Ein Gozel Achar Gozel. Right? That's a suggestion. Okay, let's continue with another minute. Go ahead.
Hayu Chamisha Tove Im Oso Amru Lo Tein Lano Pikadon Shiyesh Lan Biyadcha Shavuos Ein Lachem Biyadi Eino Chayv Ela Achas Shavuos Ein Lachem Biyadi Velo Lecha Velo Lecha Chayv Al Kol Achas Viachas.
So what about that? What do you think about that?
The Maisa Gzela changes.
It's an interesting question in general. You can do this substantively, you do the same thing, but depending on how you word it, right, you're going to be chayv multiple times or not. Do we have any evidence of that in Shavuos Seidus or not?
Well, who is the multiple formulation to anyway? Is it practically? Like, what's the...
What? No, let's say to different people, about different topic. Well, do we or don't? Mordechai?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Is it the same? Where?
We were discussing earlier in the first Mishnah.
Why not? The first one. Where is it? Lamed. Lamed Gimel? You have this Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel. We mentioned it then. I think I said it.
Also,
on the top, read the Mishnah. Mashbiani alechem imlo tavoi v'toy dunish yeshli biad ploni. Go ahead. It's interesting they took like Shavuos HaPikadon, you know, cases for Shavuos Eidus, right? Because it's on the Shavuos, on the Eidus side. Yeah, go ahead. Sheishli biad ploni. Yeah. Keep going. So 2K, one mechayvim, and the other like just cheftzas. And here, too, we say it depends on the formulation. At the time, when we read it, I said, oh, I don't think this is so obvious. I mean, that's a halacha, so, you know, that's... But it doesn't mean the more you think, right, that the Choshev Mishpat is driving the case, right, so who cares how you say it? Right? It doesn't prove that it doesn't, you know, but because we know there's an Iser side, we know there's a Shua side, we know there's a Choshev Mishpat side. We understand, right? So now you have it in Shua Sabikadam, the same thing. So what's the point that I want to make? One could have been mechalik between the two of them, right? Again, from a Choshev Mishpat point of view, in both cases, it's mechudash to say that you have multiple obligations. From a Shavua point of view, makes a lot of sense. If there's a difference in the, you know, weight, you know, of one and, you know, to the other between the two, it would have been sense to be mechalik. So is it identical? I mean, you have it in the Mishnah Lama Gimel. And you have in the Mishnah here. But, I'm not sure. Just pointing out. Read it again, Adam.
Hayu chamisha tova im oso, amru lo tein lanu pikadon shiyesh lanu biyadcha, shvuosh ein lachem biyadi eino chayv ela achas. But if you say shvuosh ein lachem biyadi velo lecha velo lecha, chayv al kol achas viachas.
Yeah.
Rabbi Eliezer omer, ashi omer shvua b'achrona.
Okay, and Rabbi Shimon omer.
Shimon omer, ashi omer shvua lekol achad viachad.
So, this requirement of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, right? Does that parallel requirement apply to Shavuos Eidus? Right? I'm guessing that, you know, most people would say, yes, you just have a little more extensive Mishnah in Shavuos HaPikadon than you do in Shavuos Eidus. But given, again, that logically, you know, this whole issue is not so pasha, and there would be good reason to be mechalik in either direction, I'm wondering. Okay, keep going. Then now to the rest part is even clearer. It's the actual parallel. Tainly bikadon.
Tainly bikadon mitzumas yad v'gezel v'aveda shiyesh l'biyadcha shvuosh ein lecha biyadi enu chayev el achas. Shvuosh ein lecha biyadi bikadon mitzumas yad v'gezel v'aveda chayev akal achas v'achas.
In the Chitum Sorin.
In the Chitum Sorin, the Kosmin Shiesh Labiadcha, Shvua Shein Labiadi Eno Chayval Achas, Shvua Shein Labiadi Chitum Sorin, the Kosmin Chayval Kalachas Viachas.
Again, so it's also interesting. I'm sorry, Rabbi Omer?
Rabbi Omer, Afilu Amar Chita Usor Bekusamas Chayval Kalachas Viachas.
Well, what's the Kiddush there?
Even if each one individual is not a Shvei Peruta.
Yeah, so we'll get that in the Gemara. That's not so obvious at all. Right. Anyways, is it only multiple Tovim that we have this discussion, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon? Or does it apply even to multiple Heftzas, you know, Mechaibim, or multiple, like, Chitim Sorim, whatever? Not so clear. This is more, again, we're not going to have time to go into all this, but these are food for thought questions, and they're relevant to exactly what we've been discussing and dealing with. Okay, let's finish the Mishnah. Anasa
Patita. Anasa Opesita Azbiti, Vihu Omer Lo Anasiv Lo Pesiti, Ma'ashviach Ani Ba'amar Amin Chayiv, Reb Shimon Poter She'enu Mishan Knas Al Pi'atzmo.
So again, this is another example. This is a good example where even if you were to say the Choshen Mishpat role is the same, right, the technical differences between the Choshen Mishpats dictate a different result. Because we know that the Gemara is mistopic about this, right? And there's an argument about it when it comes to Shavuos Eidos and when it comes to Shavuos Hapikadon. It's simple. But the reason for that is, as we're going to see in a moment, Amr Lo,
Af Al Pi She'enu Mishal Knas Al Pi'atzmo, Mishal Boshes U'Pagam Al Pi'atzmo.
Yeah. So what did you have in mind? Okay, keep going. Ganafta Shori.
Ganafta Shori Bihu Omer Lo Ganafti Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Chayev. Ganafti Eva Lo Tavachti V'Lo Mocharti Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Potter. Hemes Shorcha Shori Bihu Omer Lo Hemes Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Chayev. Hemes Shorchas Avdi Bihu Omer Lo Hemes Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Potter. Omer Lo Chavalti Bihu Asisi B'Chabura Bihu Omer Lo Chavalti Bihu Asisi B'Chavura Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Chayev. Omer Lo Avdo Hipalto As Shini B'Simis As Eini Bihu Omer Lo Hipalti V'Lo Simisi Mashbiach Ani V'Amar Amin Potter.
Yeah, so that's totally understandable because you want the kfira to be a significant kfira. Had it been a kfira whose hoda would have been poteres, right, then that's a double posture. Essentially, this is the question, and this is the discussion of who?
The Ramban. Isn't
the
Ramban
discussion? No, the Ramban is actually is a much more important discussion. Of Tosas, right? Tosas on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, said, how come you're not poshet from the Mishnah in Shavuos HaPikadon? When the Gemara is mistopic about Shavuos HaEidos, Tosas says, well, just open up the Mishnah in Shavuos HaPikadon. You have it there, Alex?
Yeah. In general, Parach Arabirish Shavuos HaPikadon, Parach Achi, Lerabadam, or Kovar Mamma, Shishal Aidin, Patrim, Masnisin, the Hacha El Rishona, Mai, Hakaimashnia.
No. Am I giving the wrong one?
Not that one?
No. When he asks about when the Gemara is mistopic about Knas, Oduma Hashtamiya Hala Odi, yeah, Tamed the Tifsha Matzisim Besal Perik Shuas Aid Hapikadon. Go ahead. Knas Apititas Biti Rab Shimon Poter Shein Mishalim Knas Al Piatzmo. Afin Rabbanu La Mechayv Yalim Mishim Dekasav Riboshes Abkam Katava. Ushuas Aidus Mina Yalfinim Igzer Shavat Atechta the Iker Shuas Aidus Ma'iri Betvias Mamal Lagomer Yalim Shuas Hapikadon. Right. So Tosa says, what's the Gemara flailing around for? How can they have a suffix? It's a Mishnah. Aye, the Mishnah is about Shavuos HaPikadon. Good. We learn dinim from Shavuos Eidos. The dine, the fact that you need a choshen mishpat element, you know from Shavuos HaPikadon. Right, we should have mentioned that in our presentation too, right? Right. The whole source of choshen mishpat in Eidos is from HaPikadon. Right? That doesn't mean it's the same, though. Is it more natural in Pikadon? The things we've been discussing. Right. That's what Tosas asks. Good question. So how could it seems like the Gemara is mistopic and here it's Pashut. What's the answer? La Pirchahi. Go ahead.
They'll come and gave Shuas a Pikadon time and Mishum Dulo Kafar Levimona, Shalohaya Mishaya Beudaso. Kidamrin and Lakavan. Abelhacha Shuas Aidos have a Knas, Kishar Mamun. Shim hayu meidin hayu mischayev udaso. Damrin lekaman. Shim hayu meidin hayu mischayev anitva kimamonach.
Again, this is a great little Tosas because it's exactly what we're talking about, right? Tosas saying the choshen mishpat comes from pikadon. So what are you talking? What's the problem? And Tosas's answer is this is the flip side of Reb Shimon. He doesn't say that. That's what he's saying. Meaning, you know, you're not going to say because. That has any impact per se, that factor, on Shavuos HaPikadon. And by the same token, in Shus HaBikaron, it's a no-brainer, right, that Kodam Amad HaBedin, you're not going to have Shus HaBikaron in Knossos, because it's not a Kfira HaMechayeves. It's not Kfira Shel Gzela. Because if you admit it, you'd be Potter. But that's not true in Shus Eidos. Nothing to do with the role of Choshen Mishpat relatively in each. It has to do with the particular details of each Choshen Mishpat. But the question was, oh, like ignoring that. Similarly, I'll give you another example, which we have to talk more about, which we mentioned at the time, I will mention again. Tosas and Shus Eidos, when the Gemara is weighing the relationship between Shus Eidos and Shus HaBikaron, so at one point Tosas says, so then maybe you should require Yichud Kli in if you have a Shus Eidos case about a milva, right? Were there little Tosas? A few Tosas, right? But a little one? Was it Lamed Beis Lamed Beis?
I'm giving Beis also.
I'm giving Beis. You have it? Neymar, go ahead. Yeah, we have to look at that Gemara anyway. So the point is, what's Tosas? They don't answer that question. That's a little shocking. So is that because they think that Yichud Kli in Shvuas HaBikaron is a din in the Shvua? In which case, maybe it applies to both. But certainly, one could answer that question by saying what? Natan? That it's a din in the Gezel of Shvuas HaBikaron, that you need something more concrete. Right, so that had nothing to do with Shvuas Eidos. Zero to do with Shvuas Eidos. Right? So the question of Knas, right, and the question of, in the other direction, of Yichud Kli, of Yichud Kli, one is answered very clearly, the other is not. Right? But this is exactly, now when you get to the, you mentioned the Ramban, so we also know that when it comes to Shvuas HaBikaron, the Gemara has this interesting suffix in Ksuvis, that even Lachar Hamad HaBedin, maybe since it's Ikaro Knas, you shouldn't be chayiv on it for Shvuas HaBikaron. Right? Wow. Amazing. And then the Ramban, here in Shavuos, right, on, what is it, Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph, right, takes him a little time later, and he doesn't do it on Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph, right, says, and Hu Adin, you have this issue by Shvuas Eidos, and you might be Mechalek, but you might be Mechalek Dafka, even to be more Machmir in Shvuas Eidos than you would be in Shvuas HaBikaron. But Medina de Gemara, the Gemara only asks this question by Shvuas HaBikaron. You might say, because in Shvuas Eidos is not even a question. I mean, it may, depends on the two or three deos in the Ramban that we talked about at the time. That's another great example, because there you eliminated Tosus's factor of, you know, this is a special din, and, you know, it's Gezel Ayyadei Fira, but there's no Gezel here, because the Hodah would have been Potter too. But once it's Lacha Gemar Din, you don't have that. So now we're talking about, oh, Shvuas HaBikaron b'shem knas, and Shvuas Eidos b'shem knas, as opposed to shem mamon. Equal? Which one better? Which one worse? That is critical. That's a critical issue. So what about Ichud Kli? What about knas after Hamad HaBedin? Right? And what about, is it so pashut that that multiple chiyuvim could take place in Gezel, maybe Gezel ain't Gozel achar Gozel. That Misha says, but you could have thought. And what about multiple, again, chiyuvim on the same token? You know, maybe there are more rules in one than in the other. I'm not sure which direction. Not so posh. Okay, so what I want you to do is, I want to discuss this more fully. I want to look at the, I want you to go through the Shakavatari, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, with minimum, and I'll give you more specific things. But to get more of this. But in addition, to look at the, just very quickly at the Gemara's and Bava Kama, Kuf Hamad Beis, Kuf Bav Mad Aleph, and Kuf Ches, discussions of Chomesh there. And look up, you know, Rashi Tosfos and the Rambam, the Rambam Minuchos Gzela, Perek Zion, also the Rambam Minuchos Geneva, where's it, Perek Dalid. You know, look up those Rambam just to understand what's going on there. The Rambam here, Perek Zayin Alachates and Perek Zayin Alachates Vav, do you need Hoda'ah in between in order to be Mechayiv multiply for Chomesh and for Asha? That's a big point that the Nosei Kelim dug out, which is connected to this. Okay? So, Yeah. Also look at the Yerushalmi, if you get a chance. Perek Ches, Halacha Gimel. Yerushalmi discusses Tanu Tainas Ganav V'Nishbalo V'Hodalo. And look at the Rambam's formulation in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvot for Shuas and Ketanot as well. Okay? Then, in addition to the things that we already did earlier in the year, just to be mashed. That's for tomorrow morning.